Hi and hello. I just wanted to, before you actually got into my podcast episode, I wanted to address that there are some sensitive topics, including suicide, mentioned in this episode, along with some minor language, just as a heads up before you go into the episode, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Hi and hello. My name is Corey Foster, and welcome to the first episode of Level Up, a podcast about self-improvement, and today we will be discussing about vulnerability and its importance. When you think of being vulnerable, you most likely think of fear or embarrassment. Am I right? Today we won't be discussing either of those, though they are an important part of self-development. We'll be discussing the importance of being vulnerable with your peers and your loved ones. Something a lot of people tend to avoid. We don't want to talk about our problems, usually. And usually people don't want people with, quote-unquote, baggage. But I know the upside of being more vulnerable. Yes, you're opening yourself up to possible judgment, but people will also know you better and be more understanding and caring towards you. You'll make better connections as well. You don't have to make being vulnerable a negative thing. And today I will tell you why and how you can do so. I come from an abusive household, in which when I tried to speak out about my situation, aka the abuse that was happening, my family ended up calling me a liar, and people wouldn't believe me. I was also frequently bullied as a child for being a bit of an oddball. So, when I got out of that negative environment and I moved to Bellingham, I started at a brand new high school. As most people are, when you start at a new school, I was absolutely terrified. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew absolutely no one in Bellingham except for my aunt and my uncle. I was worried, especially about making new friends. With me also suffering with PTSD, I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do. I didn't know how to tell them, because I felt like that was such an important trait of, like, well, not a trait, I would say. I would say that it was a really hard thing for me to know how to deal with, that I felt like it was important that my friends knew what I was going through. But I was scared of being vulnerable to them, because I was worried that they would judge me. I sat there for probably the first month of moving to Bellingham in my room, sitting there in the dark until 2 a.m, shaking with anxiety, bawling my eyes out because I was utterly terrified that I was massively going to fuck up this new chance that I had, this new opportunity of starting over. But I learned how to use that concern to my advantage. I learned how to make my fear known, but also to communicate what I was going through, and in turn, I got wonderful, understanding, healthy relationships, where at any point, we could be blunt with each other and not argue. We would actually connect and listen. And one of those first relationships I successfully formed was with my boyfriend of nearly 3 years, Quinn. Now, one thing about my relationship with Quinn that is very different with us is that I'm very much an empathetic person, while Quinn is a very apathetic person. Now, this can make our actual romantic relationship a little bit difficult due to our different coping mechanisms from abuse and anger in our families, which tends to have me end up being flabbergasted at how he could react to a situation, or more like have a lack of a reaction to a situation. But today I'm going to ask him, the apathetic in the relationship, some questions about vulnerability. How has vulnerability affected our relationship?
Well, being vulnerable just allows for a greater and more efficient outlet relationship. So if you're not vulnerable, then, you know, somebody might say something to you and you'll just keep it. You'll keep it on your person for as long as possible, and it'll just fester there until it eventually explodes. That's something that I just dealt with recently with you, is there was one little thing to do with our communication that I didn't like the way that you did it, and one little thing led to another, and we got in a huge fight about it. And that's because I just let it fester there. Now, I wasn't necessarily unvulnerable about it, I just let it sit there. And being, not being vulnerable allows things a lot to just kind of sit, because you're not allowing anything to be brought up in the moment, and you're not allowing anything to be communicated about. The main thing about being vulnerable is that you can take criticism, because you have to take criticism first to fix problems. So if you can't even take any criticism, then you'll never be able to fix any problems, because you're not allowing yourself to, you're not allowing yourself to come to terms with the fact that you have a problem in the first place.
How does being vulnerable affect your ability to make connections with people?
Right, well, making connections with people obviously has to do with being open. And so opening yourself up is making yourself more vulnerable, be that, for better or for worse. Me personally, I tend to open up. I mean, when I see an outlet to open up, I open up immediately. I'm just not very good at initiating. But when I see that there's somebody who necessarily likes something that I like, or I like something that they like, and I can get in there on the ground floor and talk to them, then I can be more vulnerable and I can open myself up to that person. And being open and being vulnerable are definitely, the most important things when it comes to meeting new people and making new connections, because if you can't open up to somebody, then you can't get to know them, and then, you're not going to make a connection.
Okay, so how do you think being more vulnerable with people can affect your life?
I feel like being more vulnerable can allow you to be a more secure person. Because if through being more open and more vulnerable, right, you can become more validated, personally. So with me, right, I'll do, say there's a couple little things that I do here and there, right, that I feel like maybe those aren't the right things to do, right? I bring it up with people. I'll just be like, yeah, I do this thing. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But it's like, yeah, I do this thing. I'm into this thing, right? And either I'll bring stuff up like that, right? And, given people's reactions, I can see whether or not like that's really a good or bad thing or an acceptable thing, right? And, generally I'll get I might get some people being like, whoa, blah, 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 and then I'll explain myself, and they'll be like, all right, right? But, if I bring something up to somebody, and they're like, yeah, me too, right? Then I feel super great about it, when previously I might not have. So it allows you to feel more secure about certain aspects of your life through, knowing that other people feel the same way.
So, one thing about Quinn and I's relationship that has always been important is my ability to be vulnerable with him. Because when we first started dating, I was dealing with a lot of recovering from trauma, from an eating disorder, from a lot of things. So I always found it to be very important to be vulnerable with him and let him know what was going on. But I was also incredibly suicidal at the time. And when I told him this, he was always willing to help me and always was concerned about my well-being. But sometimes I would go a little too far. I would get concerned and I would freak out and I would lash out. And I wouldn't lash out like I was angry. I would lash out by completely cutting myself off from everyone else and running away. And when I ran away, I always ended up here. I decided that I would come back to the beach that had caused me so many problems. So here I sit, but It's very much than how different how I remember it, because today is a sunny day in May compared to a day in December. Dogs run around frolicking. You can hear one barking in the background at God knows what. People are happy. The sunshine glistens off the wind, off the waves. There's a gentle breeze in the air. Children run, playing. Everyone seems so much happier. People tend to come to beaches and it makes them very happy because they get to see the sunshine and smell sea salt in the air. So, why did coming to this beach cause me so much pain, I wonder? I was convinced that if I died, I might as well die doing something that for me, I considered brave. Swimming. I've always had this irrational fear of drowning since I was a kid because I was terrible at swimming and had way too many bad accidents happen to it. That's why I always considered to be at this ocean and swim to be my suicide plan. But as I sit down, the terrain feels oddly familiar, but at the same time, completely different. Compared to dark nights in the middle of winter, with the only sound here being the crunching of gravel beneath my feet, the sounds of my sobbing, and the sounds of the waves all alone in the dark. The thing is, though, that me talking about being suicidal is not a common point in my life. I rarely actually talk about it. The thing is, especially talking about suicide is considered a very taboo topic. No one really wants to talk about the dark things in our world, whether or not it's suicide, or it's poverty, or people starving. It doesn't matter. But how are we supposed to learn and grow and improve as a society if we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable about these things? We're always told that in relationships, communication is key. But why with our relationship as a society as a whole, or individually with each other, we treat each other differently? Why is everything so hush-hush? We all know that people hate talking about the hard stuff, but that's exactly what we need to be talking about most. We need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and to accept people's vulnerability. The hard stuff is hard because it's considered uncommon, abnormal. Therefore, we need our connections, our support that we've built with people. It's unhealthy to bottle shit up, but we often do it anyways, convinced that we would be bothering our loved ones by discussing our problems. And we're also scared inside. We don't want to be judged. We don't want to have to worry about how someone might react. But the thing is, we need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. You're never bothering people. It's not true. You need to actually talk about your problems. One of my friends, Mariana, has really come to understand the importance of being vulnerable with her family. One thing that, especially as teenagers, people struggle with doing. No one wants to be vulnerable with their parents. No one really wants to talk with their parents because they're worried of what they will say, how they might try and control them, and how they will react. But she will talk about how it has affected her relationship with them and the benefits of it. Here's what she has to say. So this is my friend Mariana. Say hi.
Hi.
So I'm going to be asking her some questions about vulnerability. One of them is, how do you think being vulnerable has affected your relationships with people?
I think that one example that vulnerability has really, like, enhanced my relationship is with my parents. Because I think lots of the time, like, growing up with your parents, you kind of see them as this whole other entity. And they're, like, above you, you know? And so you tend to, like, want to hide things more so from them because you're worried that, like, they're going to judge you really harshly. At least that's how I felt growing up. And I felt like my parents wouldn't understand what I was going through. And so I couldn't share lots of my experiences with them because they just wouldn't understand and they wouldn't be able to help me in the way that I thought they would. But when I was, like, starting to talk to, like, starting to have, like, some actual problems with, like, friends and stuff, and I didn't actually have anyone else to talk to, I found that a real comfort in, like, talking to my mom about what was going on. And I realized, like, the more I was able to tell her and the more, to, like, just put it very straight up, like, the more I broke down in front of her, the more she was actually able to help me because she realized how much, like my friendships, like, meant to me and how hard it was for me to, like, deal with that in high school. And so, like, that's one example where, like, I find I'm, like, the closest with my mom, and I tell her now, like, I tell her as much as I possibly can now, just because I know that, like, our relationship's strong enough, and that because I've, like, confided in her in the past, that she's going to, like, understand or do the best of her ability to understand and help me in the best way possible.
So would you say that being vulnerable has definitely allowed you to create more connections with such as, like, your mom?
Yeah, for sure, with my mom. And then also I think just like with anything, like, practice makes perfect, you know? So, like, after I was able to be more vulnerable with my mom, I realized that many of my friendships that I was having, they were very surface level. And that was, like, a big mistake. And obviously, like, you're not, it's really hard to be vulnerable with people who, you don't know very well, or, perhaps, like, you just know them at the surface level. But something I really realized was, like, you can't form those deep relationships that I think we're all trying to find in people without being vulnerable to some capacity.
You gotta throw yourself in the deep end.
Yeah, you have to, like, throw yourself in the deep end, or, like, I take the, like, Brené Brown. I listen to the Brené Brown quite a bit, and one of the examples I really liked was, like, the vulnerability jar, and how, like, experiences, like, everyday experiences you have with the people who you trust and love, they're slowly, like, filling up your jar, and once that jar gets to a certain amount, whether it's, like, and that varies depending on the person, you feel enough trust that you can be vulnerable with that person. And if that person responds in a way that is comforting to you, then those marbles remain in that jar. But if they react in a way that kind of surprises you and actually makes you feel more distant and, like, more of an outsider, then that trust is, like, going to go completely down. And I feel like that's a way to, like, I don't know, I guess, I don't like to put it this way, but there's no other way to put it, like, test your relationships to see, like, how strong they are. Because not all of your relationships that you have with people are going to be vulnerable. Like, you know, like, you just don't feel comfortable in some situations.
Or they don't.
Yeah. And it's totally a two-way street. You can't just have a one-sided vulnerability thing, because then it's more like a therapist, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's, like, it's different. It's not equal.
Now, people might try to shame you for being weak or too much, but the thing is, as long as you and the people around you all know your boundaries, are in a decent mental state, and are truly willing to help each other, it's good to be vulnerable with each other. The thing is, as I put extreme emphasis on having a good mental state between both of you, is because if one becomes too vulnerable, the thing is it can make that relationship toxic, and we want good, healthy relationships. No matter whether it's platonic, romantic, or family relationships, being vulnerable is key. and we must actively try and combat stereotypes around vulnerability, that we're weak, or we're too much, or we have too much baggage. Because how can we become better as a society if we do not actively try and combat these? I will continue to say this. It's important to be vulnerable with people, especially your loved ones, no matter what. Because how will we know what each other are going through if we can't trust each other to be there and listen? We need vulnerability. We need to allow ourselves to let our guard down so we can make things work. Making things work will only happen if you allow them to happen. You need to be able to make it work. Things will not just work out magically without any effort. The thing is a lot of people, especially in today's society, because of these terrible stereotypes, that if you're vulnerable, you're weak. This is especially apparent with men. If they cry, they're weak. Or they're feminine, like that's a bad thing. I think it's really sad that people still believe that bottling up your emotions is a healthy coping mechanism, and that can allow your relationships to thrive in a way that being vulnerable wouldn't. But the thing is it does the complete opposite, and it can be very dangerous for your mental health and for others. And we really need to work on combating that vulnerability is a bad thing, and instead that bottling up your emotions is a good thing, because it's not, bottling up your emotions is unhealthy. You need to be vulnerable with each other, whether or not it's with your coworkers, with your family, with your loved one, it doesn't matter. You need to sit there and communicate with people and let yourself be out there. Because it's important that you sit there and you try and make it work instead of giving up. The thing is, though, becoming vulnerable is not an overnight thing. It's a habit. It's something that you need to build up against this fear about being weak or bothering someone. It took me a really long time to get used to this feeling of vulnerability, because you get scared. You are so, especially for me, I'm an incredibly anxious person, so I'll sit there and I'll just worry and worry and worry and worry. But the thing is it's better to sit there and express your worry and express why you're worried and what's happening and why you're worried about telling this person to the person that you're telling, than sitting there and letting it bottle up. I'm not even completely comfortable with being vulnerable 24/7, and I don't think anyone ever really will be, because, again, it's literally called being vulnerable. You're allowing yourself to be completely exposed. And the thing is with me, that's after 4 years of trying to be vulnerable. It takes a really long time to just even get comfortable with it. But I see such a huge benefit in, though. I see the wonderful connections I've made with people because I've specifically gone out on that ledge, I've been blunt, and I've told them exactly what's happening. And that's key in forming this extra bridge of support that I have with these people, and this extra bridge of understanding. Because they can really see who I am as a person and what I've gone through, and you can see the same thing. You get the same result if everything is all good in the relationship. And I find it beautiful that the thing is we see as a society this thing as a really bad thing. Being vulnerable is a bad thing. But if it was such a bad thing, then why does it create only really healthy things, such as support and love and understanding in our relationships. So why are we, as a society, pushing this thing, this concept of being vulnerable, down and down and farther, and saying, hey, this is a bad thing, this is something you can't do, because people think that being out there, being exposed, is a bad thing, and we need to allow ourselves as a society to open up, to release that tension, because it allows our relationships to become healthier and for them to bloom, and it allows us to bloom as people as well. Now that you've learned my story and my position on vulnerability and why, I really hope that you will take the time to analyze the relationships in your life and in yourself to better understand the best actions to take next, or maybe to not take next, depending on how you feel about this topic. Remember to stay healthy, physically and mentally. We'll see you later on the next episode of Level Up.